What a wonderful time of celebration of what Jesus has accomplished, what he's done and what he's doing. Thank you, Josh. And so this morning, I really felt kind of led to talk on a subject which is going to be hopefully really helpful to us as God's people. And I'm titling it Redeeming Easter, or Redeeming Easter is the title of the message, kind of in the vein of what we've been building on Bible study and studying our Bibles. And so it's going to be a two-prong attack. We're going to be looking at what is the meaning of Easter? And I'm hoping as we grapple with the subject together and what the scripture says, that we will see as we're supposed to, that we'll understand what we need to, and that will change our everything, our lives. And so I'm going to start with probably the scripture that encapsulates what Easter is about, this weekend that's celebrated around the world for so many years around what happened, and then look at the implications of that for us. And we're going to have it's going to be an interesting little time. I hope it'll be helpful to you. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4. And Paul, here, is writing his letter to the Corinthians, and he tells us this: "For I delivered to you as of first importance." In other words, the most important thing for any individual person to know, the highest importance, this is the thing that he's about to give us. And it really is the Easter weekend. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's really, I'm going to break this down into two: dead and buried, and risen from the grave. Friday, we celebrated the death of Jesus. Today, we celebrate the resurrection, that he was put in a grave and that he rose up out of that grave. And looking and understanding the implications of this is what makes you a Christian. If you don't understand what this is about, you're not actually properly saved. And so it's kind of a big deal. The most important thing Paul tells us we need to understand is this: the foundational thing that makes us believers or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, two things. The first, that he died and buried, that you understand not just that he died. The demons know that he died and it doesn't help them, but the implications of what that means. And then the implications of the fact that he was raised from the dead. And this is going to be an interesting little study, because church history kind of is divided. You look at Christians through the ages. We're going to do a little bit of a dive, not too deep, but enough to help us. We'll see what that means. And so what I want us to do is to realize, to properly understand the death and the resurrection of Jesus are the two legs upon which Christianity stands on. And I wanted to illustrate how important it is for us to properly get the two right. And by way of illustration, I'm going to put up a video of, how many of you know who Usain Bolt is? Oh. Usain Bolt is, or was, the fastest man in history, actually. He did the 100 meters in 9.58 seconds, won 8 Olympic gold medals, the fastest man in history. And there's one race that's very notorious, but it illustrates my point so well. So we're going to watch a quick 20-second video of Usain Bolt. Could you put it up for me?
Having always maintained the relay was his favourite event, the scene was set for a fitting finale. But with Jamaica in third place at the final change, Bolt as fourth runner was under pressure. And then it all went dramatically wrong. An injury forcing the champion to the ground, his teammates blaming a delayed start to the race.
Fastest man in history. Those legs, man, they're machines. But one of his legs fails in a strategic moment and he can't run. He's down, literally on the ground. For us to properly understand the death and the implications and the resurrection are the difference between us winning the race or falling out in the race. This is why Paul said this is the most important thing for us to understand. And so we don't want to look at this lightly. We don't want to just kind of, well, yeah, he died and he was raised. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? And so we're going to look at a bit of properly getting this right. And can I say, it's not just the fact that we need both legs to run. We need both legs in balance. In other words, if you overemphasizing one leg, the death and the implications of the death, and not understanding the full implications of the resurrection and what that means for us, then I want to put up that next pic of my muscle man, please. This is what we look like as Christians. This is actually a real guy. He exercised one arm to see what would happen, and eventually his one side looked like that and his other side looked like that. If we don't properly understand the fullness of the death and its implications and the fullness of the resurrection, our Christianity is a little bit like that. And so it's kind of an important subject for us to get of first importance. Now, we're going to do a little dive, not too deep, into history. Who loves history? Okay. History is important. We got to look at what Christians have grappled with around these subjects, because we are just one generation of hundreds of generations that have grappled with this subject of the death and the implications and the resurrection and the implications. And it'd be arrogant of us to think that we, just because we 20 whatever century we're in now, it's all a blur at my age, 21st century still, is it? 21st century, it would be arrogant for us to not consider what other Christians have grappled with. Do you agree with me? We've got to think about this. George Santayana, sounds like some kind of rock star that did drugs, but he was a philosopher, said this: those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. If you can't remember the past, if you don't consider the past, you're just going to make the mistakes of the past. And so a little dive, we're not going to go too deep into church history around the subject of Easter. And we're going to dig into, and the way I'm going to dive into, we're going to start off in 1054, which is like 1,000 years ago. The Church of Jesus Christ had the biggest split ever in history. It was bigger than what came later, the Protestant Reformation. And it was a split of the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, which happened in 1054. And there were a number of reasons why the church split. Now, understand, a church to split, to tear, goes against everything that Jesus prayed for. He prayed that the church should be one as he and the Father were one. And so for Christians to tear away from Christians means you are so far removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can't walk with you anymore. I know that doesn't sit well in our modern ears, but that was the reality of what each side believed. And so this split, each side excommunicated the other. The Catholics excommunicated the Orthodox, and the Orthodox said, no, we're the real church. We're putting you out the church. You're no longer the true church of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's history. And still today, the church is divided around those two big arms. We came later. We tore out of the Catholic Church a couple of hundred years later. This is important. Why? People died for the truths that they stood for. They were willing to die for it. This was central to them. And so, and we're going to come to Easter. They split, the first church split happened primarily over a number of things, but one of them was actually Easter. Did you know that? So the Orthodox and the Catholics split, and part of it was Easter, and each side kind of developed its own muscle. You know, picture that guy with the arms? Each side developed its own muscles. And I would argue each side had some strengths, and each side had some weaknesses, which we're going to tap into a little bit today, and then we're going to look at our Protestant. You know, we're Protestants. We protested against Rome, and we said, Rome, you've gone wrong. We are no longer Roman Catholics. We are now Protestants. We protested what you're doing. And so we become part of the Protestant tradition, which is now all over the world. Did you know this? This is why we're quite divided in a way. And Jesus said that these divisions actually maybe are a good thing, or Paul said this, because they do show who has God's approval and who doesn't. Those are big statements from the Bible. So we got to make sure that we are on the right side, right? And it's arrogant to just think we are because we're Protestants. And I'm going to argue that I think we're getting some things wrong as Protestants in this meeting. So stick with me. And the implications of it. So what does Catholicism ultimately talk about when you think of Easter as a Catholic? What is it? What are the main pictures? And I'm using broad strokes here, but what are the big pictures of Catholicism? Maybe put up that picture for us of Jesus on the cross. That's the Catholic picture of Easter. The seven stations of the cross, the suffering of Christ, that Jesus died in a terrible way And so the emphasis of the Catholic Church became very much Easter weekend is very dark and somber. There is Sunday, there is resurrection, but it's kind of dark. I would say that there's some beautiful things that we can learn from Catholics because it was a dark day. I remember being in Israel years ago with my wife, and we stood on the stones where Pontius Pilate literally judged Jesus and had him beaten, and his back was shredded. And I remember standing on the stones in Jerusalem where his blood was poured out and just weeping that my Savior had shed blood for me. And I was standing on the stones on which his blood had poured out, the God of the universe dying for the sins of the world. And the reality of the suffering that he went through for me to save me was so powerful. And so this is the emphasis of the Catholic tradition. Then the Protestants broke out. We rebels, we broke out. You know, the protest is kind of in the root of who we are. And that's a problem actually, but there is something there that's good. And so the picture of the Protestant for Easter is this next picture. The picture of the cross and the tomb. That's, for us, we don't have Jesus on the cross. Why? Yeah, and because we won't have a graven image. So there's a number of reasons for that. You'll never see a Protestant wear a picture of Jesus on the cross. For a Protestant, it's idolatry to do that. Did you know that? This is what the church split over these things. These were big deals for Christians historically. So Protestants have a cross, no Jesus on the cross. And for us, and I think there's strengths in each one and weaknesses in each one. For us, the picture of, doesn't it kind of make you feel resurrection? The tomb is open, the cross is empty, the sun's rising. It's a picture of, so the Protestants developed their own theology around what is it. And the belief of the Protestant churches, the weekend of Easter is primarily about forgiveness. In fact, we would argue a lot of Easter weekend for us as Protestants is about the suffering of the one who died on the cross. But ultimately, he died so that I could be forgiven. He died in my place. He died because my goodness, my best attempts at being good will fall short of the beauty and the glory of who God is. I am corrupted by sin, and so I can never attain to the goodness of God. My good works, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And so I come before a holy God guilty. Even if I'm a really good human being, I fall short of the glory and I'm guilty. Now, when I came to Christ, I was a bad human being. I knew I needed a savior. But it's maybe more dangerous to be a good human being. I've often wondered, do I wish that I didn't go down that road? And you know, I'm going to say something quite crazy. I'm kind of glad I did, as much as it messed me up properly. Because I don't think if I didn't hit the rock bottom that I would have ever understood I needed a savior. I don't know if I would have come to Christ had I not gone down the roads I went down, as much as they nearly killed me. And God saved me from those roads. So here's the deal. We all fall short of the glory of God. The wages or the consequence of our actions as Protestants in the scripture is death, separation. So he dies on the cross in our place. And by belief, just by believing in him, I am forgiven of everything I've done. He pays the price for me in full. When he said it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full. And these are beautiful truths and truths that we should be willing to die for because they're true. They are true. But again, if we don't understand the resurrection properly and the death properly, we end up either not being properly Christian or lopsided ones. So for us as Protestants, the fact that he raised from the dead primarily means this. And I know there's nuance and I'm using broad strokes, but primarily when we see Jesus rise from the dead, it tells us this. Jesus died in my place. He went into the grave where I should have gone. But because of my sin, if he didn't rise from the dead, I wouldn't know that I'm forgiven, because that means the judgment of God remained, and so I would be guilty. And so for us as Protestants, we say because he was raised, we have an assurance, because now we know God accepted his sacrifice. And so for us, the fact that Christ was raised means I'm forgiven. That's the proof that God accepted the sacrifice that was made in my place. And so it's good and it's beautiful. And these are all true things. But there's more to it than that. And so we get accepted, justified. When you think of the thief on the cross, and the cool thing about that is, as for us as Christians, is no matter where you come from, I mean, the thief on the cross is not a good guy. He's dying next to Jesus, dying for a political reason. He's dying because he was just bad. I don't know what he did, but to justify death, and he cries out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus just looks at the man and says, today, I don't care what you've done. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And so there is forgiveness offered to the worst of sinners, to you and to me. And we come to the cross the same way because we've all fallen short. And so as Protestants, we celebrate, and that's why we dance and sing, because there's a sense of like, this is like the best news ever. It's better than winning the lotto, because forever and ever and ever, I'm accepted and loved by God through faith in my Messiah, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Beautiful truths, aren't they? But I think we still miss a point as Protestants. Our emphasis is good, but it needs to be balanced with everything in its proper proportion. And so Armin and I speak to us as Protestants, because I think as Protestants, we get something a little bit off. And so I'm hoping I can convince you in 3 hours. How long have I got to? And now we're going to look at the Eastern Orthodox, or the Orthodox Church, which broke away from the Catholic Church in 1056. And it's interesting, because as much as we would not hold to Orthodox doctrine, they would not believe that what I've just said, they don't actually believe the same way. So we would say we in other words, justification and faith made right with God is not made the same way. And we would hold as Protestants that we reading the Bible right and they're reading it wrong. But I think they're getting some stuff right that we're getting wrong. Let's look at what the Orthodox would, I think it's right. For the Orthodox Church, remember the Catholic Church, Jesus on the cross. The Orthodox Church is all about the resurrection. The whole weekend starts on the resurrection. They barely go sad at all. You know, for us, Friday is sad and Sunday is happy. For them, the whole weekend's happy. They call it the Paschal Troparion, which they sing and they ring bells the whole weekend in the Orthodox Church. And this is basically what they say. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. The whole emphasis of their doctrine is the resurrection and what it gives us. They miss some of the mystery of the penalty that needs to be paid, and they jump straight to the benefit and the reward. And I think this is where they get it wrong, but also I think where we get it wrong, because I think they're onto something that we're missing. The standard picture of the Catholic, we've looked at the two pictures, Catholicism, Protestantism, but let's look at the standard Pascha icon, the Easter icon used in Orthodox traditions. It's called, what is it called? I wrote it down and I can't, well, this is the one. Put it up, that picture of Jesus. This is a beautiful picture. This is the standard Orthodox picture of Easter weekend. It's not the cross. The emphasis is Jesus in the middle in white robes because he's holy. Underneath him, you see the bones of dead people, the graves. And he's broken them. He's broken the power of sin and death. Adam and Eve on each side of him, and they're both coming out of their graves. So he's pulling Adam and he's pulling Eve out to be risen up with him. And if you look at, what did I want to say some more on this? And then around him are the saints, Moses, Abraham, and all others who are rising up out of the grave. But one thing that's important, look at where he's holding Adam and Eve. By the wrist, not by the hand. Why? Because if it's by the hand, then they are helping him get them out of the grave. Actually, he's grabbing them by the wrist because he's pulling them out by the power of his own strength. They're not helping him to be saved. He alone is the source of salvation. But the emphasis of the Orthodox Church is this. And the whole weekend is about this. It's about that he pulls us out of the grave of our old life into life with him. In a picture, all of our lives are symbolized by those graves. When we come to Christ, our life is filled with death. The Bible says sin gives death. It brings forth death. And so when you come to him, you're in a grave. The grave of your own mortality, the grave of your own sinful nature. You do things which damage you, and you do things which damage the people that you love. You do things that destroy. Even though you try and be good, you still fail and fall short. And so you're stuck in this grave of your own making. Some of yours is alcohol. Some of yours is broken relationships, hatred, abuse, murderers, liars, self-centered individuals living for themselves. These are all graves that actually kill us. And I love what they're on about, that Easter isn't just about forgiveness. It's about resurrection. It's about the fact that we get pulled up out of our old lives into this brand new reality. Yeah. They call it theosis, and it means theo meaning God. Theosis meaning we get to share in God's nature. Not that we'll be God. He's God. He's way higher than we are. But that we will become like him. And so for Protestants, it's all about forgiveness. Nothing I do adds to the finished work of the cross. But we miss something, because the point isn't forgiveness. The point is that we will share in his nature. So the West, and maybe 2 Peter 1 verse 4, this is the scripture for it. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says, by which he has granted to us, this is through Easter, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. In other words, Jesus in the gospel, by grace, pulls you out of your broken world and starts to bring you into his, and he lets you share in his nature. So how many of you found as you've walked with him, you have to start forgiving your enemies? Why? Because he does. He's teaching you to share in his nature. And how many find it's quite hard? But as you see him, he's teaching you to share in his nature. How many of you found as a Christian, you've got to be more generous than you had to be before? You can't live for yourself anymore. Why? Because that's what he's like. How many of you started to find, I used to love sin, I must just confess. When I was a sinner, I was a good sinner. Sin is fun. It is fun. That's the attraction of sin. It is. I mean, if it wasn't attractive, we wouldn't do it. I loved sin. I loved being selfish. I loved living for me. I loved being the center of the world. I loved thinking everything revolved around me. And in some ways, we all did that, didn't we? But then I met him. And when I met him, I was like, what? It's not about me? It's about you? But then it wasn't just telling me what I should do. It was changing what I loved. I went into church living for surfing, living for image, living for how people saw me. That's how I walked in. And I met Christ in a meeting. And I walked out hating the things that I loved. And it wasn't like, gee, I need to change now. It was like something in me changed. God pulled me out of the grave and I was different. I was born again by the Spirit of God. It wasn't just Christianity's trying to be a better person. It was, I was pulled out of a grave and I was different after that. I was just different. I loved what God loved and I started hating what God hated. And it wasn't because God was sticking my shoulder with a big stick. It was because I had fallen in love with him. And falling in love with someone changes everything. It's like you see your friend, you know, we all used to surf and we lived for surfing. And then one of our friends had fallen in love. And we lived an hour from Jeffreys Bay, which is like Mecca for surfers. It's like one of the best waves in the world. And we heard Jay Bay was cooking. Let's go to Jay Bay. And I remember, the guy that was frothing, like he was the first one there. He was like, nah, I think I'm kind of busy this weekend. We were like, dude, Like I was studying law. I missed a final exam because Jabez was cooking. That's what is more important than cooking Jabez? And he was like, and eventually we find out, no, he's fallen in love. He's got some little girl and like, he just wants to be with her. What changed? His love changed. His love changed. Suddenly she became more important than getting a 6-second barrel of Jabez. And then I fell in love and it happened to me too. And it's like, man, you'll traipse over broken glass to find the one you love. Why? Because my love changed. When you meet God, he pulls you out of the grave. Your love changes. That's how you know you're saved. You see, the West, pretty much, Western Christianity says, look what he's done for us through Easter. But Orthodox or the East Christianity says, look what we've become. Both are important. Look what he's done for us. And look what we've become. I'm not who I was. I'm different. Does this make sense? You see, we've got to have both. Otherwise, we have a Christianity that's distorted, and you've got these kind of Christians that think they're Christians because they believe. But they haven't been pulled out of any grave. They're still in it. They're still living the way they did. And remember, I'm not saying you've got to try and get, you can't get out of the grave. He's got to pull you out. But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, he's pulled you out. He's pulled you out. In Colossians 2, verse 12, it speaks about this thing that happens. You know, we love baptisms. They're beautiful. And I know California, it's very hip to be baptized in California. I remember going to Israel. It's even more cool to be doing it in Israel, into the River Jordan. Do you know, I never got baptized again. Everyone's like, I'm going to get baptized again. I'm like, oh, I've been baptized. I'm dead. This river's got nothing to me. I know that Jesus was baptized here, but the point is I'm in Jesus. I think people get baptized in California like 20 times because it's just cool to do it. But in Colossians 2 verse 12, if we understand baptism, what it means, what happens through the power of this Easter weekend, what happens is this thing of first importance is that we are buried with him in baptism. In other words, when I met him and when you meet him as a Christian properly, you go, I don't want to live for me anymore. My life, it was cool until I met you. And now that I've seen you, my life kind of feels like it sucks. Like you're more valuable to me than anything that this world can offer me. And so I was buried with him in baptism, which means I came to the point, and you should too as a Christian, where you go, I no longer want to live my life for me. I've done that. It promised me the world, but it killed my soul. I want to live my life for you, God. And so I died with you. This is understanding Easter. I died, I was buried with you. And which you were also raised with him. Remember Adam and Eve getting pulled out of the grave, raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him up from the dead. Christianity is, my love's changed. And there's a new power in me. The same power that raised him up from the grave now lives in me and starts to change me internally. And so I just don't want to just change. I have the supernatural working of God in me that changes me inside. And yes, sometimes I resist. I'm a stubborn old Protestant. Sometimes I'm slow-witted and I'm arrogant and hard-headed, but God keeps faithfully bringing me back to that point of, Andrew, remember that you've died. Remember what's important. Remember who loves you. Remember that I'm here with you to pull you out of the grave. And he did and does. I look at you. I can see the graves. I know the graves you came from, many of you. I know the grave I came from. I'm different. Why? Look what he's done for me. And look what I've become by his grace. Does this make sense? His divine power. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted us all these things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. His power has given us everything we need. Look at what we're becoming. Look at what He's doing in us. This is what it is to be a Christian. And to be honest, until we have both right, we're not properly saved. Until you can see the grave you came out of, until you realize that you're no longer living for you, you might go to church and you might say, I believe, but your faith is no more powerful than the demon's faith and it can't save them. This is the thing of first importance, that He died and the implications of that, and that He was raised from the grave. And in Romans 8:11, both legs have to work. Romans 8:11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. I am being made alive every day as He's working in me. I'm not who I was. So the question I have in closing is, if you got both legs working properly, have you understood this gospel, this thing of first importance, that He died and the implications of that, and that He rose from the grave, and that resurrection wasn't just a sign, it was that, but it was more a sign that your forgiveness is assured. It's also that He is raising you up out of the grave to share in His nature. Is He working in you? Do you hear His voice? Do you have that burning to love what He loves? This is what it means. Paul, my last scripture, Philippians 3:10. This is what Paul says, that I may know Him. I want to know Him, and I want to know the power of His resurrection. Note, it's a power of His resurrection. It's a power that's working in me, that I may share in His sufferings and so become like Him in His death. I want to know this power because this is the gospel. This is the thing of first importance, that God died on a cross because you and I failed and fell short of the glory of God. That no one is good enough, but that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that if you'd believe in Him, He would call you accepted. And then, not only would He accept you, but with the same power that He rose Jesus up from the grave, He'll lift you up out of yours. And that you'll be made a new person. If any man is in Christ, the old is gone. He is a new creation, set apart for God, living with the Spirit of God inside of them, causing them to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Raised up out of the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is Easter. This is why Christians celebrate. And so I want to ask you as we close, have you got your spiritual legs? Have you got this thing right of first importance? Because there is nothing more important than this. If God went to that length to save you, good luck on your own. If you really think that you're going to be okay with Him on your own, I mean, I did Eastern religions. That was part of my stupidity before I came to Christ. I did the Buddhist thing and the Hindu thing and the reincarnation thing, and I tried all that. Didn't change me when I met Him. It wasn't religion. It was the power of God that saves.